The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's start breaking this one down. Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on a Tuesday night, and a massive bounce back, a much-needed bounce back on Broadway for the Flames as they get it done 2-1 against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Flames Talk postgame underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and your text line's open at 960-960. Let's say hello to Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Flames as well. And Mick, I don't know, the score ends up being 2-1. So it might, if you didn't watch the game, feel like, oh, close, hard fought game. But that's about as convincing and lopsided a 2-1 game as I can remember. I don't know at any point outside of the 1-0 lead the Rangers held for about 8 minutes. I don't know if there is at any point I felt like the Flames weren't going to win this game. That's a pretty solid 60-minute start-to-finish effort for the group and a pretty consistent outing. What'd you take away from a big bounce back tonight?
Well, I thought it was really impressive. I mean, especially considering the fact that, I mean, the team got in so late, 3 a.m. by the time the group got to the hotel last night. So if you think about it, you're probably not going to sleep until about 4 a.m. And then it's a quick turnaround to the game today. And after such a disappointing game yesterday as well in Toronto, but to me, they came ready to play. And, you know, once again, Mackenzie Weegar talked about it with Wilsey on the post-game show. We heard Blake Coleman talk about it this morning. Just the resiliency of this group. And I think that they take a lot of confidence in knowing that over the course of this season, they've had really good bounce back games and bounce back efforts after games that they weren't happy with. So I thought they came to play with a ton of energy, even though they had every excuse in the world not to have energy, and with a ton of confidence as well. And I mean, they know, we've heard them talk about it, and just the way that we've seen them play over the course of the season, like getting offense and scoring goals is not their strong suit. So they're going to be winning games, you know, 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, whatever it may be, but not by scoring a ton of goals. So, I mean, I would have liked to see them bury a couple more. Yeah. I think that that would have gone a long way for them as well. I mean, at the end of the day, you pick up 2 points, so who cares? But it would help their offense if they, you know, could have won this one, you know, 4-1 or whatever it may be. But also, I think that was the silliest offside I've ever seen in my entire life on the Blake Coleman empty net non-goal. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, at the end of the day, just a really impressive effort and a really important 2 points.
Our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota tonight, by the way, was Calgary needing to bounce back. And you could kind of tell right from the first period, even when Artemi Panarin scored 73 seconds in, yeah, maybe the first 73 seconds wasn't what you wanted, but you know, unlike last night, Monday night in Toronto, where the Maple Leafs scored within the first 2 minutes, it kind of snowballed and the Maple Leafs took that period over and the Flames were very lucky to get out of that period tied 1-1, whereas in this case, it didn't snowball on them. They pushed back, they started stringing some shifts together, they tie it midway through and they get that big power play goal from Matt Coronato late. Like I thought that, you know, right from the get-go, you could tell it was a much more determined group tonight.
Oh, and just much more even keel as well. And that was just a weird play on that first goal, too.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Mackenzie Weegar blows a tire, and that's how you have a 2-on-1 rush. And it was a little bit of a weird shot, too, the way that it came off of Panarin's stick. And so, I mean, that was a tough one. But, I mean, we talk about the response from last night's game. Like, to me, that was the difference in this game tonight, was how they responded to getting scored on really early in the first period there. So I love the way that they bounced back and just really got to their game. I also really liked the line combinations. And I mean, I would expect that, you know, with the amount of chances that the Flames had, and you know, that's kind of been an area that they haven't been stellar in, is creating high danger chances. And I mean, according to natural stat trick, 5-on-5. They had 15 of them to the Rangers 4. So liked the line combinations as well, and thought that that added to the pace of their game, which was huge in response to that first goal against.
Marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck and demo blowout is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until September 2025. From a line standpoint, the Kadri line with Zeri and Pospisil, they ended up spending all night in the offensive zone. They were out there for 5-0 high danger chances, and the Frost line 7-1 high danger chances. Frost with Coronado and Huberdeau. So, you know, we were kind of intrigued, and I know that one of the things we were looking forward to at warm-up, Mick, was, okay, what were the line combinations going to be? They split up Kadri and Huberdeau for the first time since, I want to say, December, and had them on different lines. Zeri came back into the lineup and definitely added some pop, and sometimes juggling up the lines doesn't do much for you, and sometimes it can give you a bit of a spark, and it seemed like it was the latter tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I thought that you think about Connor Zeri too, and the fact that he'd been, for the main part, on the fourth line the last handful of games when he was playing before the suspension. And I mean, that's tough to do as a player when you're on the fourth line and you feel like you're kind of grinding it out, and you don't know when you're going out next. And so I think that was huge for him as well, and coming back from the suspension, they wanted to have him provide a spark for the group. But I also think that putting him alongside Kadri and Pospisil, like, that helps him as well, just to kind of give him a bit of a boost. And I thought that the line of Huberdeau, Frost, and Coronado, they got better and better as the game went on. So, I mean, you leave those guys together. One guy who I thought struggled once again was Yegor Sharangovic, 0% in the faceoff circle. Like, it looks to me like Ryan Huska just doesn't want him out there for faceoffs at all, and had one shot on net. So, that's something that you definitely maybe need to take a bit of a closer look at. And to me, that's the glaring hole that Michael Backlund has left. But overall, liked the line combinations and the energy that those changes brought.
Let's select a hardest working Flame after this one tonight. Flames win it 2-1 on the road in New York against the Rangers to snap their losing skid at 3 and even their record on this road trip at 1 win and 1 loss. Mick, which way are you leaning on tonight's hardest working Flame?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Matt Coronado. I just thought, Nazem Kadri obviously had a stellar game with a goal and an assist, but I just thought that the energy and the pace that Coronado played with early on, I feel like that rubbed off on the rest of the group. And, you know, whether or not that's because Matt Coronado had his own personal cheering section here at Madison Square Garden, down to our right here, or what it was, but he just had a lot of pop in his game. And I thought that was something that the entire team fed off of, in addition to a massive goal.
Yeah, I like that choice a lot. Matt Coronado, your hardest working Flame tonight, following a 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. And last thought, Mick, a lot to build on if you're the Flames going into Thursday night against the Rangers. Hey, there wasn't so much to build on last night, but plenty of things you can say. Hey, they played their game plan pretty much to a T tonight, and it got them success, even though it was only a 1-goal win.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you treat this one, the same way as actually you treat the last game. Not that you flush it and move on, but you take from it what you can and you move on, because at this point, like, every game and every point, I mean, you kind of need as many as you can at this point. So, for the Flames, I think you feel good about it, but they really have to start stringing some wins together here. Mm-hmm. And I think that they have a really good opportunity in front of them in playing the Devils in the Islanders. Like, they could come home from this road trip winning 3 out of 4 if they can play the way that they played tonight consistently the rest of the way here.
Get out of here, Mick. We will talk to you on Flames Talk on Wednesday afternoon. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Flames, wrapping up after a Flames 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. Big time bounce back from the Flames. They needed it, and they stopped the bleeding a little bit. They lost three in a row now have got themselves a win on this road trip. Big game against the Devils, and they wrap it up on Saturday afternoon against the New York Islanders. Okay, full lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960. We're underway on your Flames Talk post-game show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on this Tuesday night. Your phone calls, your texts. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska and a whole lot more when we come back. Flames Talk post-game is underway, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, Flames needed a big bounce back. They got a big bounce back at Madison Square Garden. Big win over the New York Rangers, and 2-1 is your final score this evening. Hey, it's Flames Talk postgame. Pat Steinberg along with you on a Tuesday night. Call now, 403-240-4444, or text now, 960-960. Lots of obvious, unlimited room on the text line, but one line open on the phone lines if you'd like to chime in on this Tuesday. Flames get humbled 6-2 on Monday, and then one night later, bounce back with a pretty solid, as Mick likes to say, consistent 60-minute effort. Like, you're never going to play a perfect 60, but a pretty consistent start-to-finish night for the Flames. Didn't give the Rangers much of anything at all. Scored enough to win and come away with a much-needed victory to keep the pressure on the rest of the teams in this Western Conference playoff race. I like the new line combinations. The top six specifically, the lines of Kadri, Zeri, and Pospisil, then the other line of Frost, Huberdeau, and Coronado. I thought both those lines were very strong tonight. I thought the fourth line had a strong game as well. I thought that the fourth line battle was extremely slanted Calgary's way. Rooney, Lomberg, Klapka were significantly better than that fourth line of the Rangers. Plus, Rempe took that just idiotic penalty that led to the game winner. I know Rempe's a Calgary guy, but that was a really, really dumb penalty to take to give the Flames the power play, the elbow, which any official could have called in any game and anywhere on the planet, and the Flames capitalized to make it 2-1, then choked the game off from there. And honestly, a much-deserved win. It ends up being 2-1. The score is close. The game wasn't. At no point did the Rangers have significant stretches of time where they controlled this thing. The Flames were better from start to finish. And, you know, after being the second-best team for a good chunk of the game against Colorado and Toronto, they go into Madison Square Garden, and that was not the case tonight. They made the Rangers the second-best team all night long. Let's go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's start with head coach Ryan Huska, as he just wrapped up at Madison Square Garden after a big 2-1 win.
What impressed you the most about tonight's effort from your group?
I think the complete game. Like, that's one of the best we played all year for sure. We gave one up early, which is never a good thing, but I just felt like the guys were committed to doing things the right way tonight, and I thought their goalie was excellent. I thought this was a night where we could have scored more than two or three, but their goaltender was excellent as well.
Vladdy talks about the block shots and the work that was done in front of him. What did you see on the defensive side, or maybe even in the final 5 minutes?
I think we did a really good job of not giving them a lot of room on the ice tonight, so at times I probably create a little bit of frustration on their side, but our sticks were good. I thought we were in good positions, and then you get the shot block like Joel Hanley late in the third period. That stuff matters. It really does. So I'm really pleased with our effort tonight.
Is that one of the better efforts you've seen from Matt Cornett?
Totally. Matt's been good. But tonight he seemed like one of his better games. I don't know. He was skating again. He was fast. He was strong in the puck. Scored a goal with that shot that he's got. Maybe it's something about playing in here, I would assume. But he played very well tonight.
That line, were you happy with some of the offensive chemistry from your lines?
I was. That line I thought was very good tonight with Frost, Huberdeau, and Coronado. I thought they did a lot of good things. But then you can say the same for, you know, the old new Kadri line, if you want to call it that. And then I like the Farabee, Coleman, and Sharangovich line. There's a little bit of kind of grit on the sides of Sharon. So there's a lot to like there. And I will say, I can't leave out the other line. In the first period, I thought they were excellent for us with some heavier shifts in the offensive zone.
You mentioned discipline regarding the Toronto game.
Yeah.
Tonight, special teams, both sides contributed. You didn't really have to use your PK very much. Is that a reflection, I guess, that discipline of how good the rest of your game was?
Totally. We weren't chasing it tonight. And if you're chasing games, that's typically when you get yourself in situations where you're going to take poor penalties or a lazy penalty. I don't think we were chasing it tonight. So when we did have to kill one, I still thought we killed it on our toes. And as you mentioned, our power play got us a big goal.
Okay, thank you, guys.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska from New York. And let's hear from the number one star as well in this game. Nazem Kadri ties the game in the first period, then gets the primary assist. Nice pass to Matt Coronado from the sideboards into the middle. Coronado with the nice finish. And Nazem Kadri, your number one star. Goal and an assist in his thoughts post-game as well.
It's about 24 hours after Toronto to come in here and have an effort like that.
His character. I think just everybody doing whatever it took tonight to win, blocking shots, scored timely goals, especially with how the game started. It would have been easy to fold, but showed some great character and came back and played one of our best games of the year, I think.
Well, Vladdy just talked about how it felt like it was his easiest night as a Flame. Does that just speak to the collective effort in front of him tonight?
Right. I think that could be more challenging for goaltenders sometimes when, you don't make a whole lot of saves and then they come down with a great scoring chance and you still got to be ready. So, Vladdy mentally was prepared today and he made those saves when he had to and was steady.
When you look at the blocked shots kind of throughout the course of this night, especially Joel's with about 5 minutes left in a one-goal game.
That one fired me up. When you got guys putting their faces in front of pucks to win a regular season hockey game, I think it says a lot about the group. So, not only him, there's a lot of good blocks tonight that potentially had chances to find the back of the net, and we stood in those lanes and helped Vladdy out.
Is it nice as a veteran to see a game like that for Matt Coronado? Obviously comes in here for his first time at MSG, scores, wins the faceoff before he gets it. Tidy little effort by him.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I mean, hopefully it doesn't get to his head, but he was great for us. Beautiful goal. Picked the corner. I knew we had some family in the building, so maybe he had a little extra pep in his step. But it's really nice for him to get on the board and contributed to a huge one.
What did you see on your goal? It looked like Hanley shot it wide intentionally for a big bounce, and looks like you guys have all kinds of chaos and finish your stroke in there.
Yeah, ideally that's kind of the game plan. He's a great goaltender. We want to get as much flash screens and bodies in front of the net. Just tried to make a pass to the point and follow the play up. Luckily, I was able to find the rebound and put it in. So that was a great response for us. It was a big goal in the game.
Is it almost like old times with you and the kids on the wings again?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I think they were great tonight. They played well. They were assertive, responsible, dangerous. So I think we rekindled a bit of a flame there.
Yeah. There you go. That is Nazem Kadri post-game tonight. Goal and an assist, and he helps lead the way in a Flames 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. That's our look from the Flames dressing room tonight, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. As our Flames Talk post-game show is underway, more looks inside the Flames locker room as we continue this evening. Text lines open at 96960. Phone lines open 403-240-4444. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 96960. Starting with Javier, who says at one point the Flames outshot the Rangers 3-1. That's how you win games. After 57 minutes, they'd only given up 12 shots. I'm elated. With 1.5 left in the game, these guys just gave it their all to protect their goalie. Nothing else to say about this game. They need to believe in themselves, and they'll challenge the mighty Panthers, Jets, and Avalanche of the world for the Stanley Cup. That comes from Javier. Very positive from Javier tonight. This says, I'm only 5 minutes into the second period, and I feel compelled to comment on Klapka. I think that thus far into tonight's game, this is by far his best NHL game. He's using his size, stick, and smarts to stand out enough that Huska seems to be giving him the ice time to match. If they could get a consistent Klapka, how nice would that be? Klapka only played 6:29 tonight, as that line did not get a ton of time. But in the first period, I thought they played well. They more than sawed off the fourth line. In fact, they, you know, when if you're to go battle the fourth lines versus the other fourth line, don't think it's close. I think that the Flames fourth line was significantly better tonight. As for a consistent Klapka, that comes with time. I mean, the guy's still starting to or trying to figure out exactly what he is at the NHL level. Like, this is still a new league to him. And so I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to fully get exactly what he is at the NHL level and be comfortable with it. But yeah, I mean, a more consistent Klapka would be great. And that's part of being a young player, right? And so it takes time to gain that consistency, but definitely a solid game from him, solid game from the fourth line. Thought it was a good night from the entire trio this evening. Steven Zurich, Ontario says, was only able to listen to the game tonight due to a blackout. Sounded like the boys played much better and a more complete game. They need more games like that. And yes, it was a significantly more complete game from the Flames tonight. No question about it. That's about as complete a game as they've had in quite some time. This from Ted in Edmonton. What a game. Kudos to Vladar, keeping his mind sharp in a low-event game. Love the Pospisil Kadri Zeri line. Huska for Coach of the Year. That comes from Ted in Edmonton. Claude says, Pat, as gutsy an effort as I've seen, it's almost impossible to rinse and repeat that over the course of the season, but tip of the hat for tonight. If there was at least a Flames fan in the Gardens tonight, I hope they booed Fox. Will be fun to watch the Flames for the rest of the season. That comes from Claude. Kyle says, Patty, happy belated St. Patty's Day, or I guess you day. St. Patty's Day is fine. That was a better game. They won. If it wasn't for Shesterkin, Calgary would have and really should have walked away with it, but it also shows they really need to acquire a young, skilled, goal-scoring talent. I hear Bedard isn't happy in Chicago. Even though they won, that had to be one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. The amount of non-calls that were so blatant. Kudos to the Flames for keeping their composure, which, let's be honest, hasn't been their strong suit this year. They really deserve this win. While this may not have a lot to do with the actual game, I want to compliment our broadcast team, both radio and TV. Had to listen to the New York broadcast, and our team's by far on a higher level. That comes from Kyle. I don't know where Kyle's from, but that comes from Kyle on the text line tonight. I'm guessing Kyle's from Calgary. Wedley says, what a win, what an effort. Cry about a team tank. Hunter in Dalhousie says, that was a great game. Tired looking Flames, but managed to pull away. Am I wrong for saying that Miramanov's a bust? He almost gave the Rangers a chance to tie the game by turning it over behind the net. Luckily, Vladar was on his game. Can't the organization send Miramanov to the Wranglers for conditioning and perhaps more games at the pro level? May boost his confidence. I don't know. Anyway, 2 points tonight. Hopefully more to come. The Canucks have to lose tonight. That comes from Hunter in Dalhousie. Is Miramanov a bust? I don't know. I don't know if I'd call a guy who was acquired at the age of 26 and wasn't drafted. It's hard to call anybody of that, you know, in that range a bust. You know, I do think that he has struggled this year. There's no doubt about it. And he's yet to prove that he's a full-time NHLer. That is very, very true. But I think that I don't think he's given the Flames what they were hoping for over the course of the calendar year or so he's been a member of the team, but I don't know if I would call him a bust. As for the American League, I don't know. I think right now, with the way Pahal's playing and the fact that Miramanov's a right shot, I think that they know what Barry is and are not comfortable playing Barry. I think Miramanov remaining with the group is the way to go. We'll see if they bring Pahal back in against the Devils or not. But yeah, I don't think that Miramanov has been as good as has given the Flames what they were hoping he would when they acquired him. This says, love the rebound and the character this Flames team continues to show. And I mean, that was, you heard Nazem Kadri say it, that was a character game. And they've had they've had a lot of character stretches this season. The fact that they've been able to hang in this thing as long as they have, I think, is a testament to their character. They're 67 games into the season and they're still right there for a playoff spot. And with this roster and with the expectations and all of it, I think that there's a lot to point to and say that they've had some character stretches this year. Now, They're also a 500 team since about the end of October. And sometimes there's going to be stretches where you're not so good. But generally, they've been able to, especially after really dreadful nights, they've been able to bounce back with much better outings. This reads, that was Matt Coronado's best game in a while. I think the Flames may have unlocked something with Huberto, Frost, and Coronado. Those three showed immediate chemistry and great offensive instincts. Hopefully they stick with it and let them build on the momentum. Also, Nazem Kadri's an absolute dog. What a leader. He always shows up in big games and drags his team into the fight when they need it most. You can't ask for much more from a guy like that. What are your thoughts on the new lines and Kadri's impact? Yeah, I didn't mind the new lines. I don't know how long they last for, but definitely into the game against the Rangers. I mean, there's no reason not to have the same trios, especially in the top six on Thursday night, and could not agree more on Nazem Kadri. That's why I always push back rather vehemently when people criticize the guy. There are two players at the top of my list in terms of the where would the Flames be without player X this year. Obviously, one is Dustin Wolf, but the other is Nazem Kadri. His consistent emotional buy-in, his consistent ability to drag the team into it when they need to, his consistent tone setting. Oh, and the fact that he also is one of their leading scorers, and now is their leading scorer after tonight, up to 50 points in 66 games. Naz has been spectacular for him this year, and I think has been their best skater all year long, and was good to see him, Zeri, and Pospisil, the Kadri and the kids line from last year, have a successful night. What else we got here? John M. says, was able to listen to the entire game tonight. Great result for the Flames and a great call on the radio. Boo team tank. This says, as a diehard fan for the past 25-plus years, I've never been so disinterested in the team. You can pencil them in for the 14th to 22nd range every season. You're one of our re-whatever, and they didn't acquire a single draft pick or prospect. Does this make any sense whatsoever? As fans, we've become numb to this mediocrity, accepting the same boring outcomes time after time after time after time after time. My friends' kids are from Calgary, but chose to be Oilers fans because the Flames are boring. Can't say I disagree with that rationale. It seems that 95% of the rest of the league is either a constant playoff threat or drafting elite talent. Flames are somewhere right in the middle where both outcomes are unattainable. Okay, that's a bit of a downer text after a win, but fair enough. Scotty in Victoria says, missed the last half of the game due to a yoga class my wife made me come to, but they looked really good in the first 30 minutes, and I'm honestly surprised there weren't more goals. And I mean, Shesterkin was good, and the Flames don't score a lot. Both contributed to just the two goals, and they were the better team, though, from start to finish. No doubt about it. This from Dylan in Revy. Listen on the radio again tonight. I know they didn't score 5-on-5, but that Huberto, Frost, Coronado line sounded like there was instant chemistry and they were flying. Did I hear that right? If so, got to keep that together and give it a real shot. How did you find Zeri's game? Also, Sharon Govich sounded like he was shooting more. Thanks, Pat. Keep on keeping on. Yes, the Frost, Coronado, and Huberto line was very strong tonight. And I don't think there's any doubt that you keep those lines together. I thought Zeri made an immediate impact and added some spark immediately to this offense. Was a big part of the game tying goal as well. As for Sharon Govich, was he shooting it more? Not really. He had one shot attempt. So Sharon Govich was one of the more disappointing players in this game tonight, but that has been, he's one of, I don't know, might be the only player I'd point to that, you know, I felt was maybe just along for the ride and in the passenger category. Otherwise, I thought there were a lot of drivers for the Flames this evening. And finally, Jeff in Lethbridge, impressive game when I wasn't feeling very confident about this one. Just when you think they're down and out, they prove you wrong. Zeri really helped round out the lines with his return. Very happy for Vladar as he always gets the second on the back-to-backs. The Flames were relentless and consistent. They still need to bury more chances. Even though they dominated, they were one bounce away from the Rangers tying the game. Keep the text coming at 960-960 as the Flames win this one 2-1 over the New York Rangers on a Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden. And they're 1-1 on this road trip so far. Phone lines open to 403-240-4444. And the Text line, of course, 960-960. Flames Talk postgame is underway. It's Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight and say hello to Travis. What's going on, Travis? How we doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. That's good. Question for you. If the Flames say they finish ninth and miss the playoffs, versus make the playoffs, would you consider it a failed season?
No.
No? And what's your reasoning for that, I guess?
I don't know. Did you expect them to make the playoffs coming into the season?
No. Well, no one picked them to make the playoffs, I guess, right? But okay, well, that's fair. I guess a lot of young guys got in the lineup. We've seen growth in many players. So that's
I guess I've felt all along, Trav, that if you if this is a group that works hard, builds an identity, and continues to get younger, then it's a successful season, or at the very least, it's not a failure of a season. And that's how I would look at this year. I think. Pretty much regardless. I mean, have they created an identity for themselves? I would say yes. Have they been a hardworking, tough team to play against in that respect for most of the season? I'd say yes. I mean, I guess the only thing that would caveat that would be the fact that if that were to be the case, they would have to give up, not give up, but they would transfer the Montreal, their own pick to Montreal and keep Florida's pick, which is not the most ideal of the scenarios. But I think bigger picture, them kind of creating the identity and getting younger and getting some key young players important minutes from Coronado to Zeri to Wolf and more. Even Kevin Ball had factor into that. I don't know. I would say at the very worst, I wouldn't consider it a failure of a year.
Yeah. You know, giving up that pick's always going to hurt, but that's pretty much what's about to happen. Hopefully Jersey could slide a bit. And I believe we have their pick in the first round too. So,
I mean, you know, New Jersey's going to make the playoffs almost certainly. I know they've lost Jack Hughes and I know they don't have Dougie Hamilton, but I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. It would be quite the fall for them to miss as they're sitting third in the Metropolitan Division and that's eight up on the Rangers. So I don't think the Devils are missing the playoffs and they've got 13 games to go. I don't really think the Rangers are missing. Sorry, the Devils are missing.
Yeah. I know that's fair, but you know, maybe if they slide a bit and they just kind of sneak in towards the bottom, it's
right. Fair enough. Then all of a sudden, maybe the offset isn't as huge. Sure.
Yeah. So that's something that could happen. As for the Flames, yeah, that's a big win tonight. They obviously need that because it's pretty tight, especially with the other teams winning. Well, St. Louis is up and Vancouver last time I looked was up 1-0. So they're going to need every point they can get. Down the stretch, do you think we'll see a little bit of Vladar too, or?
Yeah, I mean, we saw him tonight, didn't we?
Well, I know. Yeah, how do you think that split will go? Is it kind of?
I still think I don't think it's when you're in. I still think we're gonna. I don't think it is anyway. I still think we're gonna see more Wolf than we see Vladar. Wolf's still the guy. I know. You know. I know that last night, Monday night, wasn't great, but I think that there's no doubt who the number one is on this team. So, and that's not no disrespect to Vladar, who's given them some of his best work all season. But I, this is still, if you ask me, anyway, this is still Dustin Wolf's team. And again, the Flames aren't where they are if Dustin Wolf doesn't give them spectacular goaltending this season. So I think there's lots of reason to make sure that they watch the fatigue levels of Dustin Wolf down the stretch, but I still think this is his crease.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking. I was thinking maybe he's a little tired a little bit, but
I mean, I don't think he has been. Maybe before the Four Nations break, there was a little bit of that going on, but I don't know if I've felt like he's been tired since then.
Okay, well, that's fair.
But that's just me. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's just me, though.
Yeah, you know, they lost to Toronto, but the Flames do tend to struggle with high-octane offensive teams like Toronto or with elite players like that. They do seem to struggle with teams like that more often than not, no?
I mean, this year's kind of been a year where when they've played the teams that are of the higher end nature, like when they've played the best teams in the league, they have not had a ton of success. And when they've played the teams below them in the standings, they have. That's kind of been the way this season has gone, which is, you know, not always what we're used to with this team, right? Like, we're kind of used to them pissing away games against the bad teams, as if you will, and you know, playing up to their opposition or whatever the case may be. But that has not been the case this year. You know, games against Toronto and Colorado and some of the really good teams, they've kind of had their lunch fed to them, and you know, teams below them in the standings are right there with them. They've had a little bit more success against.
Zane, correct. What a year he's having. So he's obviously a blue chip prospect, but what do you see? Like, can he be like a top D-man in the league? Is that where you see his potential?
I mean, like, sure. Why not?
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, why not? He's doing things that haven't been done in years in the Ontario League. I don't see Never. Why I wouldn't, you know?
Yeah, what he's done has never been done in the Ontario Hockey League, right? Or the WHL, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's having an incredible year. So, I mean, I don't know exactly what it's going to translate to or exactly what type of player he's going to be, but, I mean, I think the hope would be he's a very good defenseman in this league.
And what's his path to the NHL, I guess, right now? I kind of heard you guys talking the other day, but he can't. He can play for the Wranglers next year? No,
he can't.
So he can play in the NHL, though, right?
Yes.
He could, yes. But he's probably not going to.
No, I would say I think there's a very – you obviously weren't listening very well.
No, I wasn't. I was kind of just at work, but I kind of heard you talking about it.
Yeah, I think that the most likely – honestly, if I were to handicap it, I think the most likely outcome is – for him to be in the NHL. Honestly, I really do think that is the most likely of the outcomes, just based on the lack of options they have otherwise. I mean, is it 100% ideal? Maybe not, but I think it might be the best option for them.
Okay, one last one, I'll let you go. So I know some people are talking lock Wolf up here in the offseason as long as you can, right, at the best level you can. And maybe he won't do that, but is that the same you'd think for Coronado and Zeri and Ball possibly as well? Like, are these all guys you try to lock up long term?
I don't think I would go long term on every guy. I think a mix of bridge and long term is probably what I'd do. I think there'll be some. I think it'll be a mix. I don't think that we know enough on what certain guys are to say that maybe now is the time to go long term. And I think you have a pretty good idea on what other guys are. And so maybe it is a better time to lock things in long term. So I would say for me, the guys I'm most comfortable in when it comes to the long term side of things, I would say that I'd be most comfortable in a Wolf long term extension, just because of how good he's been this year, and the faith that I personally have in the guy. I would probably think about going longish 5-6 years on Ball. I think you got a pretty good book on him, you know, and maybe in the four range, 4-5, but four maybe a little bit more likely on the Frost. And then maybe I'd be thinking about bridging Zeri and Coronado is kind of where I'd be thinking right now.
And what's your reasoning on bridging them? Because we don't really know what they completely are.
I think that the Flames have a ton of cap flexibility right now, but I still think it can be prudent sometimes to find out a little bit more what you've got in guys. Is Matt Coronado a top line winger who can score 30 in this league, or is he a middle six winger? Is Connor Zeri a top line player in the NHL, or is he again a middle six guy? These are the things that I think are really important to find out. And so For me, that's why I'd be thinking about bridging those guys. I'm still not sure on either of them. I'm big fans of both guys, and I think the potential is there, but I just, you know, you can't be, I don't think you've got enough of a book to be 100% sure.
Cardona kind of reminds me of Mangiapane a bit, with a little bit better goal scoring, though.
Who does?
Coronado.
Yeah, I mean, undersized-ish, works really hard. I can see that, really smart. I could see that. And, you know, it turns out that maybe not going long-term on Mangiapane was the way to go. So that's why, you know, maybe the bridge is the important thing to look at for some of these guys.
Fair, Pat. Well, I sure hope the Flames make the playoffs. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm always listening. So thanks, buddy.
Sometimes more intently than others, right?
Yeah, it depends if I'm working or what I'm doing, right?
I'm just giving you a hard time. Love you, Trav. Talk soon, bud.
Yeah, thank you.
403-240-4444. That's your phone number. Following a Flames 2-1 win in New York with Thomas up next. What's up, Thomas?
Not much, Pat. That was a fun game. Fun game to watch. Just got the basketball on now. So overall, pretty good night.
It was, and they played so much better than they played against Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, like, I'm not surprised they won, just because that's how this team has behaved this year, is every time you think they're going to do one thing, they do the other.
100%.
So I'm not surprised they won, but I am pretty surprised it was in such dominant fashion on the second half of a back-to-back against a team that's at least competing for a playoff spot. That part was surprising to me.
Yeah, and I mean, with taking nothing away from what the Flames did tonight, and that was a piss-poor performance from the Rangers. Like, that was embarrassing. No wonder they were getting booed off the ice after periods. Like, they were horrible tonight. Like, that was the least urgent effort from a supposedly urgent team that I can remember, and the Flames did that, took care of their part of the bargain, right? Like, they had to be urgent, and they were. The Rangers needed to be urgent too, and they weren't. And, you know, I know it only ends up being 2-1, but that's as I've said, that's as lopsided or as convincing a 2-1 score as I can remember the Flames being a part of in ages.
It's funny, because I see it the exact same way. So it was like you said, you got to give credit to the Flames for showing up and having one of their better performances of the year. By no means want to take anything away from them. But we also have to, there's two teams on the ice, and we do have to, I thought it was pretty apparent to me that was just an awful effort by the Rangers. And like you said, the lack of urgency was evident even as a person who despises that team and Adam Fox. Yeah. It was still pretty evident to me that they had no urgency to the game and just a bad performance from them. So as great as it was for the Flames, I do think maybe we need to take this with a bit of a grain of salt. And that kind of leads me into my next point. Like, I know you usually don't want to change up the line combinations after such a great game, but, like, again, we just talked about part of that great performance was the other side not looking so great, and Sharon Govich continues to struggle at center. It's like, I know you don't want to change the lines after such a good game, but I feel like you really can't be playing Sharon Govich at center very much longer, especially when you have Gary back now, like, a game under his feet from his suspension. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly was a little surprised to see him at center in this game tonight. I thought that, you know, I know for me, and I will say that line of Zeri with Kadri and Pospisil was very good. So, you know, it ended up being a really solid line for them tonight. But I am kind of your opinion that to continue playing Zeri at center is a little worrisome for sure, because he's not winning faceoffs. They didn't really seem comfortable putting him in the faceoff dot. So with all those things taken into account, yeah, I'm not, I would be where you are in that. I would be trying at your first, if you don't want to do it for the game against New Jersey, because Kadri, Pospisil and Coronado played so well, and Zeri played so well, then maybe not. But it's not, I would not be holding my breath, or I would not be forcing Sharon Govich into the middle much longer, because he is really struggling. He was the only disappointing thing about this game tonight was his play. And I do think, you know, after checking in on it the last 24 hours, I do think he's playing through something right now. What it is, I don't know, but I still would be trying to get him away from center if possible.
I mean, if he has any kind of injury, like, I feel like just use that as a reason to shut him down for the year. Like, he's clearly not himself, and it's not an outright benching for poor performance. If there is something bothering him, you can just use that as the explanation for shutting him down. Because, like he's a good player. He's not – this isn't who he is. I kind of had a feeling this might happen this year because he was always a streaky guy in New Jersey, and he had an insane shooting percentage, and he scored 30 goals last year. So, like, I knew this was always a possibility of the fan – like, the fan base might turn on him really fast, and that's obviously what's happened, and he hasn't played well to boot it. But if he's injured at all, I feel like there's some guys on the right, like possibly Stromgren or at least other options that you can look to for this if the goal really is to push for the playoffs.
Only thing is like you have to have the player that's okay with it too, right? Like if you can't just shut a player down if he's able to play through it. And Yegor is obviously able to play through it. And so there needs to be an agreement from the player's side to just shut it down. And it's you're not going to find a lot of NHLers who are wanting to do that. Like, I don't think the Flames are forcing him to play through anything right now if he is playing through anything. So, that would be the one complication there is that you still need the player to be cool with that too, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I don't mean to be snide or anything, but like, is he really playing through it? Like, is he really capable of playing through this? Cause he just looks like a shell of himself, but I don't mean to rag on that. It was overall a good night for the team. So I don't want to focus on the one and only negative. Also I was curious your thoughts on Paul. I've really liked Paul's game ever since he got here. And he was out tonight. So I was wondering is that kind of just part of the maintenance and rotating our plethora of 6-7 guys on the bottom pair, or is that maybe?
No, I think he struggled quite a bit against Toronto. He struggled quite a bit against Vancouver. And so, you know, he's been a healthy scratch a couple of times recently. His game has definitely dipped. And honestly, it's not all that much of a surprise. This is his first ever full NHL season. I think there's maybe a little bit of a wall being hit for a guy like Pahal right now. But he's definitely struggled here in the second half of the season, and his game has dropped a little. So I think that, as much as anything, is the reason why we saw him sit. They felt like they needed to make some changes. So they brought Miramanov in. It's not like the Rangers are an overly physical team. So I think you were okay bringing Miramanov in this game. I think that's why you've seen Pahal sit in two of the last three games as a healthy scratch. And you know, prior to that game in Carolina where he also sat, that was the first time all year he had sat as a healthy scratch. And now we've seen it three times in the month of March.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe just a couple games off will do him some good. He'll come back refreshed. Because I really do think the Flames found something there for a waiver claim.
Well, and I mean, they've got him signed for a couple years, and they still like the player. Like, that hasn't changed. Just, you know, I do think his game has dipped a little bit here over the last month or so.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. We'll see, I guess, on that front. And I guess if I still have some time. There's one last thing I kind of wanted to talk about because if I have time, unless you need to
go for it.
Callers. It's just, I feel like, I don't know, it's tough sometimes because this fan base has been through a lot in the last couple of years. And I feel like sometimes it gets pretty toxic between the team tank crowd and the team anti-tank crowd. And I won't say I'm a team tank person. I've always said I'm team rebuild, not tank. And there's a difference between those two. I just want to say that the reason people around this team want to maybe see this team draft high or just avoid the mushy middle is just because we've been hurt before. And
well, I get it, man.
As fun as the season is, and like from a playoff chase, like it is fun to be in the playoff race this late into the season. A lot of us have been hurt before by just missing out, not getting that pick. but also not making the playoffs. And this year, there's also just that added wrinkle of if we barely miss, we don't even get our own pick. We'll get a really late one. So the team tank crowd isn't coming from the perspective that tanking is easy and the only way through, and look, you dummies, all you have to do is tank. It's that simple. That's not where it comes from. It just comes from a place where we've been hurt before. So I just want to, as a member of Team Rebuild, I just want to speak a little on behalf of Team Tank. It's not that they just want to see this team fail so that they can draft high and all of the problems will be solved. It's just because we've been hurt before. So,
well, you don't need to, Tom, you don't need to explain that one to me, because I fully understand it. And I really do. And on top of that, I mean, I get the fact that, you know, if you want to be a true Stanley Cup contender, you've got to have those high-end players. And where do you get those high-end players? Well, you get them in, usually you've got the much better chance of getting those franchise core pieces in the top parts of the draft. So I get it. I really do. But at the same time, they've done, I mean, it's not like Conroy hasn't tried to make this team younger and hasn't tried to get this team to a different place. And that's kind of been my argument the whole time, is that, I mean, they have traded away a lot of important players over the last 2 years and haven't brought back a lot in return that would be of the same caliber. And so, you know, that's always been my, like, okay, I get it that it's, you get the players that you're looking for by drafting higher. I understand that, but I mean, part of the reason why they are where they are this year is because one of their franchise pieces is having a spectacular rookie season. I don't know. Like, what do you do to fix that? You just tell Dustin Wolf to stop playing well, or stop playing him in games to purposely lose? I don't think that gets you your place either. And I'm not suggesting you're saying that at all, because I know you're not, but that I've always understood it. And I remain somewhat skeptical the Flames become a full-on cup contender if they don't find their foundational pieces, and specifically their foundational center. I remain skeptical that they're going to be able to win Stanley Cups until they do that. But I also, what I guess gives me a lot of faith about the whole thing is that I also believe that Craig Conroy and this management group feel the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they also understand they need to get there. It's just, you know, they may not get there the way that it feels like some people think they should.
Yeah. And I agree with all that. And I know you understand, Pat. I just, like I said, this, because of a lack of success, this fan base is, can be pretty divided and toxic sometimes, just because we all want the same thing, but we just kind of want it in different ways. So I'm just trying to play a little bit of peacemaker this evening.
We got a roll, but
you understand.
I take it that it has been somewhat toxic on the old socials tonight.
Not even tonight, just like, it's just been a battle this whole season, right? Because like this whole season, the Flames have perfectly threaded this needle of like kind of in the playoff race, also kind of close to bottom 10.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I know.
Given a lot of ammunition to both sides of the team building factions within the fan base. So
yeah,
it's really not even a tonight thing, just a whole season kind of thing. At least from my
perspective. No, I get that for sure. Well, I appreciate the call, Tom. It's good to talk to you as always, my guy.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for taking my call, Pat. Have a good night.
You be well. Let's continue along on the phone line. Say hello to George tonight. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm okay.
Good. I really enjoyed the last conversation here at the last caller. It's man, it's a slippery slope, man. It's there are people who are on one side, there are people who are on the other, and then there are people in the middle. I think at the end of the day, most of us all want the exact same thing, right? We want the best for the team, and we want them to eventually win a Stanley Cup. Most of us, anyway. Some are just idiots to be idiots, right? But that's with any sports, you know, any team. I don't care, you know, that happens a lot here in the U.S. with the football teams. You'd be amazed at how crazy things get, especially with college football down here. You want to see toxicity? That's toxicity. It's actually pretty nutty how people act down here with that stuff. So I get it, but yeah, it's quite the slippery slope, and it's this ride they're taking us on, man. Like, they won tonight. New York was awful. But, you know, you take the 2 points regardless, right? That's on New York for being awful, and that's for Calgary for capitalizing and taking the 2 points, even though they should have won this game 5-6-1. But alas, this team cannot score to save their lives, and somehow they even found a way to botch an empty net goal. That's a new one.
Yeah, that was that's one of the sillier offsides I've ever seen.
Yes. I was like, all right, Kadri gets another point. Coleman gets another goal to make him feel good. No, I don't think so. Let's just wipe that off the slate. Poor Frosty, too. I want to talk about him because I've actually enjoyed Frost on this team. I know he hasn't put up the points, and I know that's the desired effect, but I've actually thought he's been effective more times than not. He has so much skill. He had that one play where he almost had a highlight reel goal and just couldn't score. And then the game before in Toronto, you know, he scores what could be that power play goal, and it's offside, and they take it away. I feel for this guy. This guy is just... he tries so hard and the skill is there and it's just not going in for him, you know, for the most part. And then Farabee too, but Farabee's been a lot more up and down for me. But Frost, I think, has been more consistent than Farabee to this point.
Yeah, although Farabee's game has definitely taken a step more recently.
Yeah, it has. It has. And that's funny because I remember we had a conversation maybe 4 or 5 games after we acquired Frost and Farabee. And I had mentioned that, oh, you know what, Patty, I think maybe this is going to improve this goal scoring a bit. And, you know, credit to you, you said, let's see about that. And not only has it not improved the goal scoring, it's actually gone the opposite direction. And I'm not placing blame on those two players. But it's just funny how I thought, like, okay, this will help a little. And nope, it's two goals or less for it seems like forever now. So it's... I don't know, man. It is what it is. It's going to be a very interesting race. I see St. Louis won tonight. They got 75 points now. Vancouver's beating Winnipeg as we speak in real time here. So
you know that's like you know like we're trying to do a podcast and keep it evergreen, and here you are. You're dating it. Like trying to sabotage my show here, George.
I'm not trying to sabotage, Patty. I'm expressing my anxiety.
I'm just giving you. You know, I'm just giving you a hard time. Of course, you're not. Of course, you're not going to think about those things.
Yeah, St. Louis and Vancouver are giving me a hard time tonight too. Unfortunately, but
well, but again, like, look, the Flames have put themselves in a spot where they're in the race. They've also been, since their 5-0-1 start, they're a game above 500. So, like, you know, it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. They are what they are, and that is a team that is in the playoff race, and we'll see if they make it. And will the out-of-town scoreboard be important? Yeah, of course it will. But at the same time, they also got to take care of their own business, and they've had a hard time doing that on a consistent basis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. Let me ask you this, Patty. We spoke last night about Zharangovich. And then I see the lines today. And I see they put him at center. What is Huska thinking putting this guy at center tonight?
You know, honestly, and I'm not there, so I can't tell you definitively. But I do wonder if that was somewhat aimed at trying to get Zeri a little bit more of an offensive role coming back into the lineup and reuniting a line that really worked for them last year. That is what I wonder, is if that's the reason why they decided to keep Zharangovich down the middle, put a pretty trustworthy guy in Coleman with him, and Farabee, who's actually turned out to be pretty trustworthy in that respect recently too, and see if maybe, you know, less about Zharangovich and more about Zeri is kind of what my thought would be as to why they did that. But yes, I was also initially surprised by that too.
Yeah, I guess I get it from that perspective, but we'll see. On to New Jersey, that's going to be a tough one. We'll see, Patty. I don't know. I just keep watching with bated breath, I guess. Thanks for having me on, my friend. I hope you have a great night, and hopefully we'll talk after New Jersey, all right?
Okay, good stuff, George. Appreciate it, as always. Phone lines at 403-240-4444. Flames this, win this one, 2-1 against the New York Rangers, as we say hello to Ryan on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Pat.
It's not Ryan. It's Ryan.
I think the last time I called in was last season, but I got to my first Flames game ever tonight. Actually, my first NHL game. I'm a little bit embarrassed to say, but I was at the game tonight, and yeah.
Oh, Oh, you were. Is this Ryan from Union College?
Yeah, I can't believe you remember it.
That's what
but
I thought.
I was gonna go full circle on it. It was a really cool moment, as you know, somebody who, I don't know if you remember the whole story, but you know, getting into the team didn't follow hockey until I got to Union College, and chose to follow the Flames, and to finally get to see him play was pretty awesome, and especially to see them get the win tonight, and from some pretty good seats too that I got last minute. But I just wanted to say, like, you know, I got to connect with a bunch of Calgary fans tonight, a bunch of people from Calgary that were so awesome. And, you know, I just wanted to call and just say, I'm happy to be part of this fan base. It's been a really great time. And, you know, even if they're not like blowing the socks off of, every opponent every night, it's, you know, when there's a lot of criticism on the team night in and night out from, you know, really fans who really care about this team, I just wanted to say, like, I'm super appreciative to just like actually see the team in person and get to interact with the Calgary fan base. It was super cool.
Well, I'm glad you got to do that. That's cool that you got to be in the building and see your kind of new team, see them not only play but see them win. So I'm glad you got to do that. I didn't know that you hadn't been to a Flames game before. So that's awesome.
It's the first NHL game ever.
That's awesome, man. I'm really glad to hear that.
2020 when I first called in, believe it or not. But
that's awesome.
Going to the Islanders game this weekend, and I just, forgive me for being a little busy with work and I haven't noticed, but I noticed Backlund wasn't in the lineup tonight. Is he hurt? Is there something going on there?
So he's got an upper body injury that he's dealing with right now.
Is there any chance he plays Saturday?
No, I don't think so. I think that we're talking about him out for this road trip, and I would be stunned anyway. He's week to week, and it's been less than a week, so I would say probably not.
Oh, that's too bad. Would love to see the captain play, but I just wanted to say too, like, seeing these guys in person versus on the TV, you kind of notice who stands out as some of the best players on the ice even more, in my opinion. Like,
so who stood out for you tonight?
Fantastic tonight. Coronado was all over it. Like, some of the, you know, he scored the goal, which was awesome, but I thought there were a couple passes that he made down sort of behind the net in the corner, centering passes that didn't lead to a goal, but, you know, were just fantastic plays. I thought Huberdeau made some fantastic plays as well. And I thought Frost looked really solid as well. He seemed like a second Blake Coleman out there on the ice, which I was talking to another Flames fan about. And I've really liked him since he joined the team. He's been like a super flashy player outside of that highlight reel goal, but like, I think he's been a good addition to the team. Like, he looks like a really solid player.
He's kind of, for the most part, given them what they were hoping for, a little bit more depth down the middle, and imagine where they'd be if they don't have Frost and Backlund and Zeri are out for a couple of games. They'd be in real trouble. I've liked Frost for the most part over the last few games. I quite liked him tonight too. That line with him, Huberdeau and Coronado was really strong.
They were buzzing. They looked so good, and it was great to stick it to those angry Rangers fans.
Yeah, they were a little ornery tonight,
and they're pretty upset. especially the people sitting directly behind me, they weren't appreciative of my appreciation for the Flames.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't wanna hog up the air, but it's good to chat. It's probably been at least a year, so appreciate the fact that you remember Union College. It's cool to see my buddy Connor Murphy signing the two-way. Shout out Murph. A lot of good things happened there, and maybe I'll call in after the Islanders game.
Yes, please do.
On Saturday.
Yeah, please do, my friend.
Good to speak, Patty.
Okay, Ryan, have you be one. Well, man. Appreciate it. That's always a cool story, Ryan, who wasn't a hockey fan, then all of a sudden just became a Flames fan from afar. And I've always really enjoyed that story. So it's good to hear from you, man. Phone lines remain open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat on this Tuesday night, Flames win it 2-1 over the New York Rangers. Nice bounce back after that ugly loss in Toronto on Monday. Anand is with us on our Flames Talk postgame tonight. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. Yeah, almost like a flashback, like Ryan, this past caller. I also wasn't a hockey fan at all, and then I became a Flames fan. My first game at the Saddle Dome was October 25th, 2022, against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where the Flames won 4-1, so that made me a Flames fan full-time. And now I'm a huge show of this program. So how are you this evening?
I'm good, bud. I'm good.
Yeah, fantastic win tonight. Really appreciated what everyone did. I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot. What was different compared to last night and today? What do you think was the main differences, if you don't mind?
Well, I mean, first of all, they were just significantly more urgent. There wasn't a lot of urgency in their game last night. On top of that, they played their game far more the way they need to. They were far better defensively. They didn't allow much of anything. They were winning puck battles. So it all comes down to those two things in a lot of ways for me, Anand. Like, they were more urgent. They were far better on the execution side of things, and they were far more them. Like, they played to their identity significantly more tonight than they did at any point on Monday night.
Gotcha, fair enough. And, it was a great game overall. Coronado scored the power play goal. They didn't allow much penalties either, and then Kadri also responding, especially after Rangers opening the scoring. Heard the boost also on the broadcast that Rangers fans were frustrated. Another question for you, I know you talked about Pahal and all earlier, but which kind of pairing? I think we have already solidified the first and second pairing, so like Ball and Anderson and Hanley and Vigor. Do you think this third pairing will continuously evolve around for the rest of the season?
I mean, ideally, I think they would like the answer to that question to be no. And generally, for the last couple of months, it hasn't rotated. It's only been recently that Pahal's game has dropped off a little bit. And so he was healthied against Carolina. He was healthied against Colorado, and then got healthied again tonight. So it's only been more of a recent thing that this has really happened with Pahal. Prior to that, it had been Bean and Pahal had kind of really solidified themselves as this team's third pairing. So I think that ideally they'd like that to return. Pahal has not been on his game the same way that he was prior.
Gotcha, fair enough. And one final question for you regarding Thursday now against New Jersey Devils. Most likely, Jacob Markstrom will get the start. Which goaltender are you going for between Wolf and Bladar? Because that will be interesting, right?
I mean, it's not, and this is no disrespect to Vladar, who was fine tonight. They played great in front of him. But, like, Dustin Wolf remains this team. The Flames are not in the playoffs or in a playoff hunt without Dustin Wolf. And so,
yeah, 100%.
For me, you got Vladar a game tonight. And that was always going to be the case, I think. Them going to Vladar on the second half of the back-to-back. But
yeah,
you're now Wolf has been rested. I think you go to Wolf against the Devils, and then you probably go back to Vladar against the Islanders. But like, this is still Wolf's group, if you ask me. This is still Dustin Wolf's crease. And so yeah. I think you go back to him, even though Vladar picked up the win tonight.
100%. Yeah, good choice. All right, sounds good. All right, thanks so much, Matt. Love the win tonight. They were a hardworking group. Have a good night and talk to you on Thursday against the New Jersey Devils.
Okay, and on to be well, buddy. Appreciate the call. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open right now if you want to chat following a Flames 2-1 win over the New York Rangers and an impressive 2-1 victory, about as lopsided as you're going to get for a 2-1 victory, if we're being perfectly honest here. And speaking of Dan Vladar, let's get to tonight's save of the game. As Dan Vladar got the start, second half of the back-to-back, and his save of the game comes in period number 3.
Rangers win a defensive zone drop. Panarin, who's got their only goal, will drop it off to Vaakanainen, who slides it right wing side to Fox, who gives it back to his partner. Vaakanainen springs Panarin. He speeds in and drops. Kreider shoots, and Vladar makes his best save of the game.
There weren't a ton of stops for Dan Vladar tonight, but he did his part of the bargain, or held up his part of the bargain, and that's one of the 12 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight. That's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Not a ton of work, and so, you know, a little difficult to evaluate exactly what we saw from Vladar tonight, but still, I thought a quality start from him. Did everything that he needed to do, and definitely nothing negative about Vladar's start. Even the goal that he let in was just a really good shot and a weird play off the stick of a 30-goal scorer and one of the best goal scorers in the NHL. So, thought it was a really solid night for Dan Vladar, and now let's hear from him post-game on the road in New York.
Just take us through the final 2 minutes there and what you're seeing as you try to finish this thing out here tonight.
Well, I mean, it was probably my easiest game as a Flame, as well. Like, I don't even know what kind of word I should use. What's better than unbelievable? I don't know. It was just not a busy night for me at all. And the blocks that you see from Nacho and Weeks and Frosty towards the end is just, that's team right there. It's playoff hockey, and it gives us, me and Wolfie, gives us goosebumps that you guys are willing to do those things for us. So yeah, really good night for us, and I'm such a proud of this group. But as I said, I didn't have much.
Well, I know it's everybody back there, but the one with about 5 minutes left that Joel seemed to throw his face in front of her chest.
Yeah, this guy just crazy. But that's the guy you want to have. Every single team in this league wants to have in their jersey, and we're so glad we have him. And such a good person, and he's showing on the ice that he's playing with his heart. And everybody loves him here and appreciates so much. We appreciate him so much.
What does this effort say about your group, given what happened last night and the comeback?
Yeah, we're just one big family, obviously. Not an easy night for us last night, but, the way that we bounce back is, as I said, it's unbelievable. And we just got to keep playing the same way. I know it's hard, that we are not always going to be perfect, but, today we just showed everybody that, we are a good team, and we deserve to be in this playoff race.
Talk about Coronado and the night he had. This was special for him, right?
Yeah, like I saw at warm-ups that he had probably like 70 people here, so everybody was pumped up for him before the game, and his first time coming to the Garden as well, so this is a special place to play, and I'm so happy for him that he got a game winner.
There you go. That is Dan Vladar post-game. Flames win this one 2-1 over the New York Rangers. Okay, phone lines are open. 403-240-4444. I've got two lines open right now, so it is last call for phone calls. If you want to chat, now's the time to do so. If you're on hold, stay there. We will definitely get to you. But if you'd like to join us and get on hold, it's your last call for phone calls, and keep those texts coming at 960-960 as well. Flames win it 2-1. Flames talk post-game, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's a Flames 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. That is your final score from Madison Square Garden. Big time bounce back from Monday's rather ugly loss against the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's going on? It's Pat Steinberg. It's your Flames Talk post-game show. It is last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. I got two lines open at 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming as well at 960-960. A couple more trips inside the Flames locker room before we wrap things up from that portion and get back to the phone lines and the text line. Let's start by hearing from Jonathan Huberdeau. His thoughts after a 2-1 win over New York.
Just start with the effort here tonight. What impressed you the most about your group?
I mean, we played the Flames away. I think we played a tight game, and I mean, they didn't get a lot of shots. I think a lot of we were playing on the perimeter, so that was good on our part. And I think, especially on the back-to-back, I thought really liked the effort. Guys were blocking a lot of shots, and we found a way to win.
It seemed like your line was generating a lot throughout tonight. Were you happy with some of what you saw looks-wise and chemistry?
It was good. I thought we were moving the puck pretty well. I think, just capitalizing on the chances. I thought I had some good looks, could have scored some goals. But at the end of the day, it's good to have, creating some chances like that, and hopefully he's going to keep going.
About defensively, that was a pretty long shift at the end there. It's a pretty good win.
Yeah, I was a little tired there, but like I said, I think they were on the outside, so it's obviously it was a long shift, but I think we stick together. Like I said, guys were blocking some shots with their face and going out there, so it's good to see. And I thought, obviously it's a big 2 points for us.
What about that performance you saw from Coronado?
I mean, he was buzzing. I think it's Maddie in New York, he likes it. He's back home. He's fresh, and I thought he was, his legs were moving, tonight, and he was getting a lot of looks. It makes him, his goal was a snipe. So.
There you go. That is Jonathan Huberdeau, Matty New York, as he calls him. And let's finish up there. Matt Coronado, the Long Island product, comes back. First ever game at the Garden, and he scores the game winner on the power play. Here's Matt Coronado post-game tonight.
So, first trip into the Garden, live up to the expectation?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's great to kind of bounce back after last night and get a big win.
What about tonight's sit out the most about your group's effort?
I think we just came out hard right out of the gate and got to our game quickly and kind of stuck with it.
How many friends and family you have here, do you think?
I'm not sure. There's definitely a lot. So grateful for all the support.
You must have felt good about your game. That might have been one of your better games you've ever played here.
I'm happy with the effort from the group. I thought Hubie and Frosty made a lot of great plays. Proud of the effort from the group.
Some good chemistry on that line, you felt like?
Yeah, I thought it went well. They're both so creative, so smart, so easy to play with.
Can you take us through your goal?
Yeah, Naz kind of got it to me in the middle, and there was some space, and I heard Hubie yelling shoot from the net front, so I turned and shot it.
I know at Harvard you did a bit of center. Do you feel comfortable taking draws in the ozone like that?
Yeah, I think sometimes I take them on my backhand, my strong side. So when it's a good time, I feel comfortable.
There you go. Matt Coronado scores the game winner in front of family and friends. 2-1, your final score in New York. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960. Lots of texts to roll through this evening. Starting with Grant in BC, who says, great bounce back game. The forecheck was convincing. Started off a little rough with the goal against. I think that's the most chemistry I've seen through three lines personally in a while. Maybe it was just the checking, but it seemed like everyone was moving their feet and supporting and making good passes, not to mention just shooting it a lot more. Felt like a couple more could have went in. Positivity, no matter where the team ends up, they've continued to work hard after a loss and always compete. That in itself is hard to achieve. Have a great night, Patty. Go Flames, go. Ash says, only the Flames can play this well and still only score two goals. Coronado clearly had an extra jump in his step being in his home state, and yet another incredible performance from Hanley, especially with the savvy play he made to purposely shoot it wide on the Kadri goal. I know Hanley's 33, but I would definitely consider re-signing him despite Solovyov making a push next year. He deserves it, if you ask me. I know that Connie likely will let him walk, but would you do the same? Sentimentally, I'd probably re-sign him. Pragmatically, I'd probably let him walk if I'm being perfectly honest with you. with Solovyov and Kuznetsov and potentially some younger players in free agency even that you could look at, I would probably shake his hand and say thanks for all of the work you gave us this year and move on. That would be what I would do, just in the whole idea of getting younger and wanting to give players that are knocking on the door more of an opportunity. That would be what I would do, but I wouldn't do it gleefully because he's been great for them this year. You can't. There's no other way around it. This says from Murray, that sounded like a gutsy effort. The boys should be proud of that one. Every time you're ready to count these guys out, they prove you wrong. Let's go on a run so we can all relax a bit. Don't think 500 hockey is going to get us there. Go Flames. It won't, I don't think. And unfortunately, the Flames are a 500 team in the calendar year 2025. And since late October, they're one game over 500. I mean, essentially, this is a 500 team. So they're going to have to go on a run to make it, and they're going to have to play better than they have for the vast majority of the season, or string wins together at a more frequent pace than they have for the most part this season. This says Sharon Govich has got to be scratched and assigned to a martial arts conditioning stint. Guy needs to learn how to get in the fight. Everyone else is given her but him. Karens would be an excellent replacement for Sharon Govich until Backlund returns. What are your thoughts? Seems like if Sharon Govich was to be scratched for the remainder of the season, the team wouldn't miss a bit. Yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I still think the skating and those types of things, I don't think I would be healthy scratching him, but they also do need more from him. If he's playing through something, maybe they don't get more from him. That's what I would say on that front. This says, good thing the Rangers are ass. They definitely were not very good tonight. This says, I hope people now realize how important Backlund is to the team. I agree on that front that he definitely is missed, although they did a better job without him tonight. Aaron, my buddy Aaron from Side Street in Kensington, says, Pat, was great meeting you. We talked about Pospisil. Good to see him grinding it out on a talented line. And Aaron, he's playing some really good hockey right now. Some really good hockey. And his best hockey of the season since the Four Nations break. Rick in Lakeview, Pat bottled that one. Proud fan this evening. Now string some together and gain some momentum, which is what they've got to do. Alex and Stetler, you've probably answered this, but hypothetically, could Parek play in the playoffs if they make it? Yes, hypothetically, if his season in the OHL is done. Now, Saginaw is going to the playoffs and are likely going to face Erie in round one. They'll be the four seed in the Western Conference, and there's a decent chance they'll be able to make it through to round two. If they make it through to round two, that'll be right around when the first round of the NHL playoffs are getting going, so it would become less likely in that regard. If they get bounced in round one and the Flames make it, the timing possibly could work. I don't know if the Flames are ready to put a guy who, and look, Zane Parekh is doing incredible things in the Ontario League, but my worry would be at the most physically demanding time of year and the most physically punishing brand of hockey that is played at any time in an NHL season, that of course being the postseason, to bring a guy in who I still think needs some significant additions in terms of size and strength. And so that would be what would worry me. This isn't Cale Makar, and we are very excited about Zane Parekh, but Cale Makar is a generational defenseman. I don't know if that's what Parekh is, and so I hesitate to compare what Makar did in 2019 to anybody, including Parekh. So could the timing work out? Possibly, theoretically, yes. Do I think it is a likely scenario, even if the timing did work out? I would say no, but never say never. And I'll be the first one to say if I'm wrong, if it were to happen. You know that. Lloyd and Langley. Pat, I'm growing worried about Sharky not moving his feet. No wicked shot like last season. Thoughts? Positive only. That comes from Lloyd. I do wonder if he's playing through something because those things are all correct. There's, you know, he's having a tough time leveraging his shot. I wonder if there's a lower body thing that he's working through. That's all. He looks more ginger when he's out there right now, and it's affecting. If there is a lower body injury, and again, they're not going to tell us, but I just wonder if there is something going on. This from Jamie. Team Tank thinks it's so simple to just lose. If you want a team to lose, you have to do the major league model. And if you do that, what you end up with is a harder task to get a team that is eventually competitive. They have all the ingredients to be okay, then better and better every season moving forward. Backlund, Kadri, Uyghur, these guys will help the development of the young players and move over eventually to make way for them. It's a better path than they've had for decades, and it's so much better than the Buffalo model. Team Tank needs to get real and get quiet because it's a stupid narrative that has nothing to do with the players on the ice. Go Flames. Love the show as always. That comes from Jamie. This says a playoff run like this is just as important for the young players as getting in easily would be. What else we got here at 960? Ba-ba. Great battle win tonight. This is from Michael. After a rough game last night on Coronado and Zeri, I'd also expect their agents to push for a bridge deal since it feels like they're close to a big breakout. I do wonder if there's a little bit of that too. Just the whole idea of, you know, betting on yourself and trying to get yourself a bigger payoff at the end of a bridge deal. Neil says, great comeback from last night, and they're going to be in a playoff spot regardless of everybody else's results. So why worry? Well, that's not true. They're not in a playoff spot. St. Louis is in the playoff spot right now. Flames are two back with two in hand. Vancouver also is in action tonight and can also move ahead of the Flames. So that's not true, but the Flames are keeping themselves in it nonetheless. This says, any update on Pahal? Also, any possibility Cairns could or will be called up again? Pahal was just healthy scratched. And as for Rory Cairns, could it happen? Sure. Am I expecting it to happen anytime soon? No, I'm not. What else we got here at 960? This says, Vladar is awesome. I love the Flames outshot the bad guys tonight at last. Finally, hopefully they get the memo. Totally persistent shots on goal is a solid report card. I'll give them an A tonight, especially after the Leafs. That was not fair. The Leafs wore their St. Patrick's jerseys on St. Patrick's Day. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day. That comes from Francesco. This says Dustin Wolf is going to have to start scoring if the Flames want to make the playoffs. This from Brett, how does a kid from Union College cheer from the Flames? I think it's a cool story. This reads, who gets the start against New Jersey? If it's me, I think it'll be Dustin Wolf. And my guess is they'll go back to Wolf, but if I'm making the call, I would go to Wolf as well. And finally, from our buddy Will in BC, just a few questions after a nice win. First, do you see Mantha being an important player next season? Same question about Kirkland. Lastly, any thoughts on Hanzek getting a significant shot at playing next year? He impressed me a bit in the preseason. I hope Backlund's okay and is playing again soon. Thought Vladar played well tonight, but as you say, Wolf is the man now. Okay, on Mantha, not certain. You know, with Hanzek coming, with Zeri, Pospisil playing well again, with Coronado cementing himself as a full-time NHLer, I'm not as sure on the Mantha front. I would say I'm 50-50 that Mantha's back next year. If it was me, and I hate saying this for a guy who's rehabbing a season-ending knee injury, I don't know if I would be bringing Mantha back on a one-year deal myself, but I would say 50-50 would be my guess on that front. I probably wouldn't. I would on the Kirkland front for a couple of different reasons. I think he is at the very worst a soft, but I think an upgrade on Rooney. I think he was an upgrade on Rooney this year when he was healthy. And yeah, I think that we're going to be talking about Kirkland coming back. I would be quite confident they re-signed Kirkland, and I would as well. And I think he'll be a really nice fourth line center for you next year. And don't forget that secret weapon in the shootout either. So that also comes into play. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. And a couple more on the phone lines following a Flames 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. This is your Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on a Tuesday night. Aaron is up next on the phone lines. What's going on?
What's up, buddy? It's Side Street Aaron again.
Oh, what's going on? You're called as well. I like it.
Yeah, I've been working out of town. I finally got a chance to early game and later trip back to Red Deer to work tomorrow. So
okay.
Yeah, man. Anyway, I just wanted to say, first of all, Sylvia, you're a staple. We love you. And part of me kind of agrees with you for as far as Pospisil is concerned. It does seem like he just takes a couple strides and kind of glides in with some speed, so I'll give you that, sweetheart. Anyway, I digress. Won't keep you too long. I just wanted to say, as far as Huberdeau and Kadri, it's obviously great to see them kind of finally living up to their contracts. Not that Kadri didn't last year, but make the playoffs or not, I think that it's money well spent as far as, you know, juggling lines and guys like Zeri and I don't know about Pospisil, but whatever. Coronado, you know, what a bullet of a shot he has. That's not talked about enough in his positioning, but anyways, that's just great to see that that $17 million is being spent well this season for what it's worth. And yeah, that's another thing I meant to say is finally we S-kicked a team with shot volume. And it reminds me of that was Daryl Sutter's mantra, right? It's just shot volume. You know,
and I think it's also like what this Flames team would like to do. They just haven't generally done a very good job of it this year. You know, they have 5-on-5 have not been at all times a great shot volume team. And they have had a hard time, obviously, when they have. They've had a tough time in terms of generating good quality shot attempts. So, but tonight was a shot volume game. They barely spent any time defending tonight, and that was good to see.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. It's a game of seconds, right? Game of inches, game of seconds, milliseconds even. You can't hesitate. You can't overthink. You can't grip the stick. And that's what I saw tonight is we have to win this game. It was very impressive for a back-to-back. And they're capable. Just anticipate if, you know, like dump-ins even. I've noticed a lot of just step behind on a pinch to the defender after the defenseman dumps it in. But tonight it was anticipated and just throwing stuff on net, and you just got to be confident like anything in life, I suppose. And yeah, like this game, especially it's, you know, they're a frustrating team. I understand we're not superstars and we're doing the half rebuild thing, but it's just one of those games that kind of makes you tantalize a little bit and frustrates you if and when they fall off of that once again. So it's just good to see that guys are stepping up and the young guys are learning, and Zeri coming back was huge and on. But
yeah, I mean, and I think the thing that is maybe the most promising about this game is that It this is the way the Flames need to play. If they play like this, then they give themselves a chance. They did not play like this for 60 minutes against Vancouver or Colorado or Toronto, and in all three of those games they lost in some form or another. And that was because, you know, more than anything, they got away from their game. They got away from it in the third period against Vancouver, and it burned them. They didn't have it for the first 40 against Colorado, and they were trailing. They didn't have it at any point in time against Toronto, and they got blown out. And tonight, they did. They played their game to a T, and they gave themselves a chance to win. And, you know, then the other team plays into it. The Rangers were awful tonight. And so it became that much more lopsided because the Flames did what they needed to do. The Rangers did next to none of what they wanted to do. And the Flames played into that. And so even though the score ends up being 2-1, I think that's a pretty lopsided going away win for the Flames.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. I know you have another caller or two coming up, but...
No, you're the last guy.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like I say, it's frustrating. Because more so concerning. I'm not going to say frustrated because there hasn't been enough of that effort this season to be frustrated. It's been mainly starting strong or finishing strong, but not a full 60. And tonight was a full 60. And yeah, so super impressed with again the back to back. And the fact that the Rangers are also basically in the Eastern Conference right where we are. So I don't know when they played their last game, but yeah, that's for their fan base, like 12, 14 shots, whatever it was, like that's...
They were getting booed routinely and probably deservedly so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we've been there, I suppose, but, by all accounts, I don't think that any Flames fan was going to be super confident about pulling one off tonight, but we sure did, and that's got to be at least top three shot volume of the whole season. It was 35 shots or something like that.
Yeah, and shot attempts, I can go quickly tell you. So tonight they finished at 5-on-5 with the 56 shot attempts, which isn't their season high. But in terms of, and again, you've got some score effect games in there, but in terms of their 5-on-5 possession rate, they were about 60% tonight, which is right about their season high. They had one game where they had a ton of possession against Nashville and lost. And there's been, you know, some of these numbers, you know, they sometimes will... when you're trailing in the third period, things get inflated a little bit. But from a start to finish standpoint, this would be one of the top one or two nights for that this season.
Yeah, and guaranteed zone time too.
Yeah, they spent all night, like, on the attack.
Thank God! Like, holy hell! So, and Vladar, like, major props. I know you're talking about this stuff all the time, but he's answered the bell. He's taken a lot of scrutiny, but it's tough. I've never been a professional goaltender, but to face 12 shots in a whole game and still stay sharp on dangerous chances, like at the end of the game, there was some crazy deflections and.
He had to make a couple near the end for sure.
It was nail biting, you know. So, anyways, man. I hope that we can just continue to. It was just great to see that desperation tonight. Like, we really want it, and Kadri's really stepped up as a leader. It's good to see, even though it was offside, him feed Coleman because he knows that he needs to get hot. As a streaky player, he just said it in an interview. His whole career he's been streaky, but he wants to contribute. So just disperse the confidence, I suppose. And we will see what happens.
Well, give yourself a good night, Aaron. Thank you so much for the call, man. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, cheers, bud.
I'm not sure if he swore there. Did Dom, did you catch a swear there? Okay. So I apologize for the swear. It caught me so off guard. Did he just drop an F-bomb out of nowhere? I apologize for that. We'll cut that out of the podcast. It was a good call. I do apologize for that because the CRTC would get angry at us if I don't apologize. So sorry for that. That was the most blindsiding F-bomb I can ever remember. So apologies for that. Okay, well, great stuff on the phone lines. That'll do it on the phone lines tonight. That'll do it on the text line tonight. Appreciate all your calls, all of your input, so on and so forth. Always great to chat with you on our Flames Talk post-game show as the Flames take a 2-1 win over the New York Rangers. It's time for our final summary tonight, and not a lot to tell you about because all the scoring came in the first period. Rangers did have a lead in this game. They scored .113 into the first period. Artemi Panarin gets to the 30-goal plateau once again to make it 1-0 Rangers. His 30th from Uro Vakanainen and Will Cooley at 1:13, made it 1-0 Rangers. Flames push back, though, tie it at the just past the midway mark of the first period. Nazem Kadri's 24th of the season from Mackenzie Weegar and Connor Zary at 10:22. And then the eventual game winner on the power play off the stick of Matt Coronado playing at Madison Square Garden for the first time in his career. Coronado scores a power play goal, his 17th of the year at 18:03. Kadri and Weegar the assist to make it 2-1. That was your score after 20 minutes of play. That was also your score after 40 minutes of play, and no scoring in the third period either. 2-1 ends up being your final score tonight as the Flames end up outshooting the Rangers 35-13. Flames go 1-for-3 on the power play. New York 0-for-1 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight in the building. Number 3, Igor Shesterkin. Number 2, Matt Coronado. And your number 1 star tonight with a goal and an assist was Nazem Kadri. Hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Matt Coronado. With the win, Flames improved to 31-24-11. They're back in action Thursday on the road in New Jersey. Well, the Rangers fall to 33-30-6. They're back in action Thursday at home to Toronto. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producers tonight, Azam Ali Nanji and Noah Abel. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames is Thursday night when they take on the New Jersey Devils in New Jersey. That is a 5 o'clock face-off, which means we'll be on the air at 4 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Madison Square Garden tonight, Flames 2, Rangers 1. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.